God, we thank you that you are a God who offers salvation, Father. For without Jesus and his work, we would be lost and have no hope, and we are thankful for that this morning. Would you help us to have wisdom while we approach your word this morning? Would you help us in our hearts to approach you with our hearts anchored in the gospel and anchored in the work of Christ, and with hearts that are in love with you, not because there's anything good about us, but solely because of the love that you've placed in our hearts. And Father, all of this happens. We recognize while we were your enemy, and for that we can sing and be thankful and worship and fellowship and engage with your word this morning. Would you use the Spirit to illuminate our hearts this morning to the truths of your word? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I hope everyone is going to have a happy Thanksgiving here. It'll be this week. I know we have people traveling and all kinds of stuff going on. And again, I apologize. The slides look terrible. But they used to be pretty, and for whatever reason, this one came in nicer, though it lost my font, which is a shame, because I spent a long time playing with fonts. You have no idea. So what I want to look at is, and we've looked at these things before. I have Sunday school here for a couple of weeks, so this week and next week, and a very relevant topic, one that I think, I'll stand over here, is good for us to look at and to discuss. I know Edwin tends to, when he teaches, and nothing wrong with that, I know that he tends to kind of save, questions towards the end. I don't mind if you don't want to talk, that's okay, but I actually prefer interaction and such, so feel free to stop me, interrupt me, and, I want to take a look here at what is often a very abused, I believe, and abused on every side, topic of Christian liberty. So let's just start here. And again, we've asked this question before. It's actually been a while since we've directly looked in it. At this, but what would you answer is Christian liberty? What would you say? So someone comes up and says, you're a Christian, what's this Christian liberty thing? What does that mean? What would you tell them? I hope that nobody asked you guys. Lewis.
As long as it's not sinful, we can do whatever we want.
Okay. So Lewis says that Christian liberty speaks to the fact that as long as something is not sinful, which I think we would define probably as directly against the dogmatic pages of Scripture, then we have freedom to do what we want, is what you're saying. Someone said to me that they believe in our circles, historically Reformed Baptist Church, but we could put very generic kind of Bible believing evangelical church, however you want to label us, that we understand and grasp Christian liberty. I don't know what you guys think here. I'm not so sure. I think that probably most circles would say, yes, this is something that we grasp. I'm not sure that it's true. And there's different ways that Christian liberty is defined in the Bible, right? And people tend to be on one of two sides when they talk about Christian liberty. One, they use Christian liberty, and this is what's unfortunate about it. Because I find that when I hear Christians, and usually it's Christians arguing about Christian liberty, I, to my knowledge, can't think of arguing about Christian liberty with an unbeliever. I've argued about the gospel with them, right? I've debated with them about
is the Bible true and everything else under the sun, but usually they don't care about Christian liberty, right? That's, so usually when I see two people, these would be two believers, discussing or debating Christian liberty, I tend to find that they're using it to argue one of two sides, right? What are those two sides? What do you think? What would you say? I'll give you my opinion of it, but what would be one side? Yeah, I can do whatever I want, get off my back, right? No. And the other side is trying to correct that point, right? The other side's trying to say, no, you can't just do whatever you want. Right, that's typically what's happening. The really unfortunate point is that the primary texts, and those are the ones we're going to use today, Romans 14, Corinthians, Corinthians really 8 to the beginning of 11, the actual point is not to have that argument doesn't need to be ensuing, right? That argument doesn't need to be happening. And I actually think that that both of those texts that I just mentioned, they're actually encouraging believers on both sides not to do that. And I'm going to talk about the weaker and stronger brother thing here in a little bit. So one way liberty is explained in the Word is that Christians have been freed from the penalty of sin by faith in Jesus Christ. This is true, yes? Yes. Good. So, John 8, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been slave to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free, right? They don't recognize they are slaves to sin. And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So yes, we are free. For the wages of sin is death. So you sin, what do you earn? Your wages. Well, you earn death. And this is referring to an eternal death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Christian liberty can refer to the idea of being free from the power of sin by faith in Jesus as the Lord of our character and conduct. Yes, sure. Romans 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, right? Not our works. It's not us who does that. It's not based on what I do or don't do. I am not a slave to sin. Why? Because of the work of Jesus. I am free. Why? Because of the work of Jesus. Yes, this ties into my understanding of Christian liberty. For sin shall not be master over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. All right. Free from Old Testament law. So let's talk about this. This is where people start to discuss and have interesting thoughts. So Christian liberty is also used to describe the truth that Christians are free from the ceremonial civil law of the Old Testament. What does all this mean? Let's just talk about that for a minute. What do these terms mean? I actually talked about it a little bit in the sermon the other week or last week. I don't know. I don't remember when I preached 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah, Mike preached last week in the camping trip, so the Sunday before. So what does that mean? Give me an example. What do we mean when we say the civil law? Yeah, absolutely. I would say maybe not the sacrifices, but to be technical, that would be the ceremonial side. But yeah, the civil side, the as Lynn was just saying, the theocracy, which means the God set up government of Israel. There's one theocracy that's ever existed. It's Israel. That's the only one. It was in the time they were, and pretty much that's it. That doesn't mean that there's not truth and eternal truth there for us. In the ceremonial law, these things that Hebrews constantly points out, right? And in the New Testament, there's lots of examples. Hebrews is the best that continually says these things, but were point to the thing that's better. And the thing that's better is Jesus. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says what? If the old covenant would have been enough, we wouldn't have had any need for a new covenant. But now we have that which is better, better than the old. That's what Hebrews is all about. Jesus is better. Better than the theocracy. He's better than the sacrificial system. He's better, and the covenant is better. And we needed one that was better. So some people say, okay, we're free here. And the idea here is that as New Testament believers, we understand that the law is our tutor, exposes our sin, but cannot forgive our sin. This is true. Right? You could read the Ten Commandments all day long, and you could read, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, but does that provide forgiveness? The answer is no. That doesn't provide forgiveness. In fact, what that provides, when we were talking about Luther during Reformation Day, what that provides is what he found. All I see is an angry God to condemn me, because without the, you know, if all you're reading there is the law, that's the point. And it's the point of the law. The law is God's grace to us. The law is God showing us that we need forgiveness. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes what? Knowledge of sin. Again, it's gracious. It's not a bad thing. We're not saying that the law and the scripture never paints the law as a bad thing. It does say the law won't save you. It does say that those who put their hope in the law are in trouble. It does say that Christians, even in Galatians, I think true believers who are struggling with, oh, but now I'm a Christian and, you know, I really got to do that law thing. And they kind of go back that, well, yeah, I'm saved by Jesus, but now my righteousness as a Christian is rested solely in my works alone or my works, or I need Jesus plus in some way. And yeah, that's not a good thing. It's condemned, that way of thinking. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Okay, so finally, oh, that's just terrible. Finally, Christian liberty, oh, sorry about that, the font thing, also means that Christians are free from other people's laws. Okay, and this is often, and I think this is what Lewis kind of was referring to, right? As Christians, we are free to enjoy this world and partake of its goodness as long as we don't violate 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat, drink, or whatever you do all for the glory of God. This is not a problem, you know, for me, and I'm certainly not one to tell you to go home and throw your television out and, you know, go and burn everything down in your house. That's not me. I'm definitely not there. But at the same point, yeah, we are to enjoy God and live in Him forever as believers. That's true. That's whether you like playing video games, whatever your hobbies happen to be, we do these things in the freedom and enjoying the freedom that we have in Christ. So of course, 10:31 is a loaded statement. And I'll move us ahead a little bit, and we'll stop here in a little bit. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything is unclean, to him it's unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. So the issue here, there's a very principal issue in 14, but in Romans 14, but what's happening? What's happening is there's an issue with food, and it's a religious issue, and some felt you had to keep the Old Testament dietary laws, others did not. And Paul is saying, to me, it's irrelevant. He's actually saying to the person who says, you could eat whatever you want, he's actually saying, you're right. he's still not condoning the way that they're interacting with the other brother, right? Which is the heart of the text. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is you a good thing be spoken of as evil, right? So I have freedom to do X, and brother or sister so-and-so thinks, you know, oh, well, that's really a problem. You know, is it now my life mission, whether it be on Facebook or in person, to fix that brother or sister? See, this is where it comes down. Am I convinced I'm right? Yes. Probably they're convinced they're right too, by the way. But am I convinced I'm right? I am. But if it's not a gospel issue, now, let me say this. When it's a gospel issue, because we see Paul deal differently, and I might talk about this a little later. It depends how far we get here this week or next week. But and I've brought this up before when we've preached. Timothy and Titus, one of them, Paul circumcised for the benefit of being able, and this was Timothy, the benefit of being able to go into the temple because they wouldn't allow him in so that he could go in and preach the gospel. And when the council said, we're not accepting Titus unless you circumcise him, and these were believers, Paul said, I ain't circumcising him. You know, deal with it. And why? Did Paul change his mind? No, I don't believe that's the case. The situation is different. But the situation where Christians have a need to force, you know, and it tends to be, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the stronger, weaker brother, because I don't think that that's the right definition of that text, because I actually think there's three groups in Corinthians that are spoken of, not two. Most people just say the stronger brother and the weaker brother, and the poor weaker guy is the guy who doesn't, you know, the guy or girl, whatever, who doesn't get it, right? They just don't understand enough that they're able to do this. And the stronger brother, he's the smart, scriptury one, right? And I don't think that's the text. Paul's actually correcting both brothers in those texts. Both are in the wrong, and he's correcting both of them, which is very similar, I think, to what's happening here in Romans 14. So I really think the application for us here is, in general, I mean, if something's a gospel issue, yes, we deal with it. If something's a sinful issue, absolutely. If our brother or sister's in sin, what do? In love, we go to them. We bring it to them. If our brother and sister